Well, greetings to all you future sons and daughters of the Most High God. Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles 2015. What a blessing it is to be able to attend God's feast. What an incredible blessing it is to have the understanding of why we're here, of the soon coming kingdom. What a privilege it is to be called out of the 7+ billion people. Just stop and think for a moment that there's 7+ billion people and God chose you. And he chose a few others that are sprinkled around the world. Let's all show God our love and our gratefulness by obeying him throughout the feast. Some of you old timers, you know, you all remember hearing, why are you here? The question, why are you here? Well, I'm not going to ask that. I'm going to ask what we are to do while we're here. You know, Moses in ancient Israel, he asked the question to ancient Israel, and he says, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which he commands you today for your good. So what does God command us to do while we're here at the feast? Let's turn to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 13. If we're going to obey God and if we're going to please God, we need to know what we're supposed to do. Here, starting in verse 13, it says, you shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you've gathered in from your threshing floor and from your wine press. You shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter. Well, parents and grandparents, we need to be teaching our children to rejoice. You know, teach them at God's feast we are to be happy, to be concentrating on God and rejoicing. And we are to be sure that we make it special for our children so that they learn how to grow and to love God as much as we do and to love God's feast. They need to get the excitement that we do, you know, so let's be teaching them. That's one of God's commands, to teach them. Continuing on here, it says, your male servant, your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses. Because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and all the work of your hands, so that you shall surely rejoice. You know, that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to focus on to remember to rejoice before God for these 7 days as God has commanded us. You know, when you think about it, it's kind of strange that God has to command you to rejoice. But I think he put that in there for me and maybe some of you that, you know, you might get distracted because of something that happened in the morning. Your coffee might have been cold or your service at the restaurant was bad, or just so many little things that are minor in comparison to that we shouldn't let those little things bring us down. I know that sometimes the traffic here in Branson can be a little bit disturbing. It gets some people in a bad mood. It can be hectic at times and cause tempers to flare if we let it, and we shouldn't let it. You know, Branson's a breeze compared to the Lake of the Ozarks. I don't remember if you remember the old timers, what it was like years ago. I sure do. My first feast was in 1969. I was 8 years old. And there was 12,000 people in that building. And if you even thought you had to go to the bathroom, you better head right then, because that thing was so big. Of course, I was 8 years old. Everything's bigger when you're younger. But it was amazing how big the parking lot was. It was about a mile long, and it was completely full. So the traffic here is nothing compared to back then. You know, at least here in Branson, there's plenty of these side roads that if you take the yellow route or the red route, you can bypass and get around. So let's look for the positive things each day so that we'll rejoice before God. You know, after my first feast, I couldn't wait to the next one. And each year they've gotten better. As a teenager, you know, the first hint of fall would just get me so excited because the weather, you know, reminded me of the Feast of Tabernacles was coming and it was getting close. And now as an adult, 47 years later, I look, you know, forward to the feast even more. I still get that thrill, that first morning chill in the air and the clear blue sky before the feast. because I know it's coming and it's exhilarating. I look forward to the messages we're going to hear throughout the feast, the men that prepared. It's going to be great. We've all been blessed, you know, and I certainly have. My sons are both here, and my older son and his wife and his four children. So my wife and I are really rejoicing, and it's a wonderful time of rejoicing with family. And that's exactly what God is doing right now. He's rejoicing with you and his family. Jesus Christ and the Father are here with us. You know, God said that he would place his name and we were to go here, and he has placed his name here, and that he would be here with us. Christ said in Matthew, where two or three are gathered in my name, you know, I am there in the midst of them, he said. And we certainly have more than two and three here. So the very God of the universe, our Heavenly Father and his Son, are right here with us. You know, this is the best place we could be at this time. We shouldn't want to be anywhere else. Our very thoughts should be consumed of obeying God and doing his will. We're here celebrating the future God has for us and for all of mankind. Where we shouldn't be worrying about what's happening back home. I know it's hard sometimes, but our jobs, our finances, whatever, our health, we shouldn't let that stop us from rejoicing. And we can allow those things to creep in our mind, but God says we're here to rejoice before him. So if we're not focused on the things that are back home, we should be able to rejoice before God. Let's stay focused on what a privilege it is to be here, because you were called out of 7+ billion people. It's hard to believe. We're here to share this special occasion with him. And God has blessed you. He has called you here to be a blessing to others as well. Let's drop down to the bottom of verse 14 again and read it. It says, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow here within your gates. You know, just take a look around, brethren. How many people do you know here? I don't know, but just a small handful. So in order for me to know who the strangers, the widows, and the fatherless are, I need to get out and introduce myself and to get to know one another. And that's what God wants us to do. We must be loving as God is loving. We must be patient with others as God is patient with us. We must be willing to help others in need, to serve one another, to treat your brother as you want to be treated. You know, we're here to make sure that the widow, the fatherless, the stranger have enough food to share our blessings so they can rejoice before God as well. We are to serve our brethren who are less fortunate, so we need to do it because God says to do it. You know, if you're handicapped money-wise, say you don't have enough, you can still get out and meet these people and talk to them, but fellowship with them, get to know them and their needs, and then do something for them. You can certainly pray for them and ask that God would help them and bless them. You know, that's a loving, caring attitude towards your brother who is in your gates, because these are our gates, these doors that we come into, they're the gates. You know, God does say you can buy and whatever you want, you know, during the feast, you can enjoy whatever your heart desires. Enjoy it before him, he says. But let's not be so self-centered that we lose focus. You know, there are other people that are in need. We need to be aware of others' needs. We are all God's servants. And as God's servants, we are to be helping those who are in need. You know, you might just be an answered prayer to someone here, one of God's people. And I don't know about you, but if there was ever a time I could help someone, it's truly right now because of the second tithe that we have. Any other time of the year, I don't have this kind of money. I don't know about you. Maybe you do. But since this is the first day of the feast, I wanted to make sure we think about these things, that we dwell on them. I hope this is helpful to all of us to remember, you know, what God's will is, what he requires of us, to be celebrating, rejoicing, and sharing. Let's turn back two chapters to chapter 14, verse 23 at the bottom of that verse. It says that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. You know, that's another one of God's commands here at the feast. We should be fearing God And we learn to fear God by obedience. Obedience to all His commands. And we all want to be blessed by God. I know I do. So we need to keep all His commandments. And in keeping with the theme of obedience to God and pleasing God here at the feast and rejoicing before Him, we're also instructed to give an offering on the first holy day and the last. And we will hear an offering message here in a little bit, and I don't want to take away from that, but it's important that we come before God and do what He commands us, what God requires. God wants us to worship, to be worshiped in His way, not in any other way. So to please God, we better remember. We better know. You know, we better know what pleases God and do what God requires of us. Now, we all know we can only give what we have, what we are able to give. And the important thing is, if we come before God with a thankful, humble attitude and a cheerful heart, then He is pleased. You know, after the end of the year, you have your second tithe gathered in. You know, we're here to give an offering to show our appreciation to God. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Second Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6, Paul wrote, he said, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart." It's in your heart. God looks into your heart to see whether you're happy and rejoicing. He says here, not giving grudgingly or because we have to, because we're commanded to. He says, "For God loves a cheerful giver." And that's what God wants in this feast. He wants everybody to be cheerful, to be rejoicing. Do you really want to truly please God? Then be a cheerful giver, no matter what you give. Be happy and rejoice before our God. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. It's always great to get a gift from somebody who's put a little thought into it. You know, if you ever had somebody just toss you something and say, "Here, I thought about you and gave you," but it's not, doesn't mean as much as if they wrap it, put a bow and put an envelope with a card, it's much more meaning. So that's what we should do before God. Before we give our offering, we should come before God in prayer and be thankful to Him. I'm not going to have you turn there, but in Hebrews 13:15 it says, "Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." You know, God's pleasure is in the person who comes obediently, joyfully before Him. And that's what we want, isn't it? To be pleasing to our Father. He's going to bless us if we do this. So as God's feast has already started, let's be sure that we rejoice before Him and His Son. Let's be sure that we learn to fear Him through obedience. Let's give our whole heart and our whole soul to our Father in heaven, who's offering us eternal life. Let's be rejoicing before God during this wonderful Feast of Tabernacles. Parents and grandparents, let's be sure we're teaching our children to rejoice before God. You know, it's a way of life, isn't it? And God is pleased if we're living that way of life. Remember those who are in your gates and be sure that we help them. Let's all be humble before our great God and be seeking the kingdom and His righteousness. Remember and obey God and keep all His commandments. And brethren, may God bless you with a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles full of good things this year. May this be the best spiritual feast for all of us. And please pray for the inspiration for all the men who are going to be speaking this feast all around the world, that we're all spiritually fed to the full. And let's be praying for His protection for all His people and all the feast sites. Happy Feast of Tabernacles, everybody.